Chapter 22. Murphy and I walked around the hotel, and as we did, I popped open a fresh can of blue Play-Doh. At the corners of major intersections and at the exterior exits, I pinched off bits and plunked them down on top of the molding over doorways, inside flower pots, inside fire extinguisher cabinets, and anywhere else where they wouldn't be easily or immediately noticed. I made sure to leave plenty of them in unnoticed little spots along the hallways, chiefly in use for the convention, especially outside the rooms that the schedule designated as showing films as evening approached. "What are we doing again?" Murphy asked. "Setting up a spell," I said.
"With Play-Doh?"
"Yes." She gave me a level look. I shook out the can that still had most of the original material in it and showed it to her. "The little pieces I've been leaving around are part of this piece, see?"
"Not yet," she said.
"They used to be one piece. Even when they're separated, they still have the thaumaturgical connection to the original," I told her. "It means that I'll be able to use the big piece to reach out and connect to the little pieces."
"That's what you meant by a web?"
"Yes. I'll be able to..." I twisted up my face, searching for the words to explain. "I can extend energy out to all the smaller pieces. I'll set it up so that if one of the little pieces picks up on a disturbance of the energies, I'll be able to feel it through the larger piece."
"Like seismographs, sort of," Murphy said.
"Yeah," I said. "And we use blue Play-Doh, blue for defense." She arched a brow at me.
"Does the color really matter?"
"Yes," I said, then thought about it for a second.
"Well, probably no, but yes for me."
"Huh?" "A lot of the use of magic is all tied up with your emotions, with what you believe is real. When I was younger, I learned a lot of stuff, like the role of colors in the casting of spells. Green for fertility and prosperity, red for passion and energy, white for purity, black for vengeance, and so on. It could be that the color doesn't matter at all, but if I expect the spell to work because of the color used, then that color is important. If I don't believe in it, the spell won't ever get off the ground."
"Like Dumbo's magic feather?" Murphy asked.
"It was his confidence that was really important."
"Yes," I said.
"The feather was just a symbol, but it was an important symbol." I gestured with a can. "So I use blue, because I don't have to do too much introspection, and I don't introduce new doubts in a crisis situation. And because it was cheap at Walmart." Murphy laughed.
"Walmart, huh?"
"Wizarding doesn't pay much," I said. "You'd be surprised how much stuff I get from Walmart." I checked a clock on the wall. "We've got about 2 hours before the first movie starts showing." She nodded.
"What do you need?"
"A quiet space to work in," I told her. "At least 6 or 7 feet across. The more private and secure, the better. I've got to assume that the bad guy knows I'm around here somewhere. I don't want to get a machete in the back when I'm busy running the spell."
"How long do you need to set it up?"
I shrugged. 20 minutes, give or take. What I'm really concerned about is..."
"Mr. Dresden,"
called a voice from across the crowded convention hallway. I looked up to see Sandra Marling hurrying through the crowd toward me. The convention's chairwoman looked exhausted and too nervous to be awake, much less standing, much less politely pushing her way through a crowd, but she did it anyway. She still wore the same black t-shirt with the red SplatterCon logo on it, presumably the same I'd seen her in the night before.